Hey everyone, welcome back to Unzip, the show where we crack open the latest AI and ML research papers and pull out everything that actually matters. Quick shout out to today's sponsors, Ada, which bridges the gap between research and production AI Ago Consulting, your silicon development partners from AI all the way to SAWIC, and Zen Semiconductor, an umbrella company with a portfolio of silicon industry companies, including Ada, which helps businesses deploy AI at scale in production with their Glow compiler. Seriously, great people supporting great research. Today, we're unpacking five papers covering data agents, multilingual model adaptation, selective trust in LLMs, clinical AI for heart failure, and cross-lingual reasoning transfer. Buckle up, there's a lot to get through. All right, let's kick things off with paper number one, Data Space, which is benchmarking data agents for verifiable analytics over what the authors call heterogeneous workspaces. So here's the problem. In any real organization, your data isn't sitting in one neat place. You've got databases, spreadsheets, PDFs, maybe some video or audio files, all scattered across different systems. And increasingly, people want to ask natural language questions over all of that at once, like show me quarterly revenue by region and have an AI agent go find the answer regardless of where the evidence lives. The catch is that existing benchmarks, the standard tests we use to evaluate these data agents, tend to isolate one type of data at a time. You get benchmarks for SQL querying or document retrieval or open-ended analysis, but almost nothing that requires an agent to synthesize evidence across all these formats simultaneously. That's a real problem because it means we're building and evaluating agents in controlled lab conditions that don't reflect what practitioners actually need. DataSpace fixes this by introducing a benchmark where agents have to produce verifiable, tabular outputs, think structured tables, not vague text summaries, by pulling evidence from genuinely heterogeneous workspaces. The verifiable part is key. One of the hardest things in evaluating open-ended analytics is knowing whether an answer is actually correct. By requiring agents to produce structured tabular results, DataSpace enables deterministic evaluation, which is a much stronger quality signal than asking a judge model to rate a text response. The benchmark covers tasks that span databases, structured files like CSVs and Excel, long-form documents, and multimedia sources all at once. Agents can't cheat by just being good at one thing. They have to orchestrate retrieval and reasoning across wildly different modalities. For ML practitioners building enterprise data pipelines or internal analytics tools, this is a really valuable contribution because it gives you a rigorous way to compare agent architectures on tasks that actually resemble production workloads. If you're evaluating which agentic framework to use for your organization's data stack, DataSpace is a much more honest test than anything we had before. Paper 2 is a fascinating one. It's about teaching Nemotron Greek, specifically modern Greek. And no, this isn't a joke paper. So, NVIDIA has a family of retrieval models called Nemotron, which are really strong for retrieval augmented generation. That's RAG, the technique where you give a model access to external documents at inference time to ground its answers. The problem? Modern Greek is essentially absent from Nemotron's training, and it's also absent from major multilingual retrieval benchmarks. That's a significant gap because Greek is an important language for professional domains like law, energy, finance, and medicine in Greece and Cyprus. The authors, Ayub Hirawain and Christos Petrohalos, take on an end-to-end adaptation of the entire Nemotron retrieval stack for modern Greek. And I want to emphasize end-to-end here because they're not just fine-tuning one component. They mine a corpus, generate synthetic supervision data, train the retrieval model, adapt the re-ranker, which is the component that rescores retrieved documents for relevance, fine-tune the reader model that actually generates answers, and they build a brand new evaluation benchmark called HERA, specifically for this purpose. The synthetic supervision piece is particularly clever. Getting high-quality label training data in specialized domains for a lower resource language like Greek is genuinely hard. Generating synthetic query document pairs using a strong LLM and then training on those is a pragmatic solution that's gaining a lot of traction in the ML community. And this paper is a nice case study in how to do it responsibly with proper evaluation. HERA as a benchmark is itself a contribution. It fills a gap in multilingual retrieval evaluation for Greek across specialist domains. For practitioners working on multilingual RAG systems, or anyone trying to extend a strong English-centric retrieval model to an underrepresented language, this paper is basically a playbook. The methodology is generalizable, corpus mining, synthetic data generation, staged fine-tuning, and the authors are transparent about what worked and what didn't. That kind of honest reporting is genuinely useful when you're trying to replicate an approach for your own language or domain. Okay, paper three is one I find really intellectually interesting. It's called Learning When to Trust via Selective Context Preference Optimization. The core problem it addresses is something that's been bugging the RAG community for a while. when you give a language model external context, retrieve documents, tool outputs, database results, it should use that context when it's helpful and resist it when it's misleading. Sounds simple, but it's actually really hard to get right. The naive approach is to train models to be more robust to misleading context. The failure mode, which the authors articulate really clearly, is that if you push too hard in that direction, you get a model that basically ignores all external context, it just falls back on its parametric knowledge. The stuff baked into its weights, that model looks robust on benchmarks, but is useless in production RAG settings, where the whole point is to trust the retrieved context when it's good. The authors recast this as a selective trust problem and introduce a benchmark called MIST, which is cleverly designed. For each reasoning item, they create four matched versions, one with clean context, one with misleading context, one with correct context that conflicts with the model's priors, and one with no context. This lets you precisely measure whether a model is actually learning to discriminate rather than just learning to ignore or just learning to trust blindly. The technical approach uses preference optimization, think DPO or similar methods, but applied selectively based on context quality. Rather than uniformly optimizing for or against context reliance, the method targets the specific failure modes revealed by the four-condition benchmark. For ML engineers building production RAG systems, this matters a lot. The practical question isn't, should my model trust retrieved documents? It's, can my model tell the difference between a good document and a bad one and behave accordingly? MIST gives you a way to measure that properly, and the training approach gives you a path toward actually achieving it. Paper 4 shifts gears into clinical AI, and it's a paper I think deserves more attention in the broader ML community. It's called Tracing the Heart, an evidence-linked pipeline for heart failure feature engineering. Feature engineering in electronic health records, EHR data, is one of those problems that looks tractable from the outside and turns out to be brutally hard in practice. The authors cite a statistic that it accounts for 39 to 45% of data scientists' workload in clinical settings. That's enormous. Heart failure is particularly challenging. It affects an estimated 6.7 million U.S. adults, and diagnosing and monitoring it requires integrating fragmented EHR data, lab values, imaging reports, clinical notes, medication records with disease-specific guidelines that are themselves complex and evolving. Existing approaches are either rigid rule-based systems that break when guidelines change, or LLM-based approaches that lack traceability. You can't easily audit why a feature was included or what clinical evidence supports it. The key innovation here is the evidence-linked part of the pipeline. The authors build a system that doesn't just extract features from EHR data, but ties each extracted feature back to the specific clinical guideline or evidence source that justifies its inclusion. This is huge for clinical deployability. Clinicians and regulatory bodies need to understand why a feature matters, not just that a model found it useful. A black box feature extraction pipeline, however accurate, is hard to trust in a high-stakes medical setting. The pipeline combines LLM-based reasoning with structured clinical knowledge to automate the feature engineering process while maintaining that critical evidence trail. For ML practitioners in healthcare or any regulated domain, this is a really important design pattern, building AI systems that are not just accurate, but auditable. The maintainability angle is also worth emphasizing. When clinical guidelines update, an evidence-linked system can identify which features need to be revisited, rather than requiring a full re-engineering cycle. That's a significant operational advantage. And finally, Paper 5, RPOPSD, which stands for Reasoning Pivot Guided on Policy Self-Distillation for Multilingual Reasoning Transfer. Let's unpack what that means, because there's a lot in the name. The core problem is multilingual reasoning transfer. How do you take a model that's really good at reasoning in English and get that capability to work well in other languages, especially lower resource ones? On Policy Self-Distillation, or OPSD, is a training paradigm where you use the student model's own generated outputs as training data, providing dense token-level supervision. Basically, the model learns from its own attempts rather than purely from human-curated examples. It's a promising approach for reasoning tasks because you can generate a lot of training signal cheaply. The problem the authors identify is subtle but important. When you apply standard OPSD to multilingual settings, the training objective doesn't explicitly prioritize the parts of a reasoning chain that are most critical for cross-lingual transfer. A reasoning chain has surface-level tokens, just the words in the target language, and deeper pivot-level tokens that represent the actual reasoning steps. The hypothesis here is that getting the pivot-level reasoning right is what actually drives transfer. And standard OPSD treats all tokens roughly equally. RPOPSD addresses this by identifying reasoning pivot points, the key inferential steps in a chain of thought, and weighting the training signal more heavily around those pivots. This focuses the model's learning on the reasoning structure rather than just the linguistic surface. The result is more efficient transfer of reasoning capabilities to target languages with less training data. For ML practitioners working on multilingual LLM development, this is a practically relevant contribution. The approach is relatively lightweight. It doesn't require architectural changes, just a smarter training objective, and the intuition is clean. If you're trying to extend a strong English reasoning model to additional languages without massive amounts of labeled data in each language, the pivot-guided approach gives you a better signal-to-noise ratio during training. It's the kind of technique that fits naturally into an existing multilingual fine-tuning workflow. All right, that's five papers in the books today. What a lineup, from enterprise data agents to clinical AI to multilingual reasoning. There's something here for pretty much everyone in the AI and ML space. Big thank you to our sponsors, Ada for making production AI deployment actually work, Ago Consulting for navigating the silicon stack from AI all the way to SOC out design, and Zen Semiconductor for their incredible portfolio of silicon industry companies and for powering Ada's Glow compiler that turns research models into real inference systems. If you want to go deeper on any of today's topics, definitely check out AI Special Report, another show in the Ada Podcast Network. It's excellent for staying current on the broader AI landscape. Links to all five papers are in the show notes, so go grab them. And if you haven't subscribed yet, please do. New episodes drop regularly, and we've got a lot more great research coming up. See you next time on Unzip.